Chapter 61. The Red. Azure drags me to the Sovereign's feet at the centre of the holopad. The cold sneer of command is etched deeply into the tyrant's marble face. Her shoulders are weary, though, pressed down by the weight of empire and the shadowy mass of 100 years of sleepless nights. Her tightly bound hair is shot with deep rivers of grey. Tendrils of blue worm through the corners of her eyes from relapsed cellular rejuvenation therapy. She's had no peace from me. Kneeling and bleeding though I am, it does my soul good to know I've haunted her nights. "Remove his muzzle," she tells Aja, who stands behind me, preparing to administer the Sovereign's justice. The Truth Knight and the Joy Knight flank Octavia. Cassius stands over Mustang to the side in his prisoner greens among the Praetorians, while the Jackal watches from his chair near Lysander, sipping a coffee brought by the valet. I stretch my jaw as the muzzle comes off.
"Imagine a world without the arrogance of the young,"
Octavia says to her fury.
"Imagine a world without the greed of the old,"
I reply hoarsely. Azure slams the side of my head with her fist. The world flashes black and I almost keel over.
"Why'd you take his muzzle off if you wanted him to be silent?" Mustang asks.
The Jackal laughs.
"A fair point, Octavia."
Octavia scowls at him.
"Because we executed a puppet last time and the worlds know it. This is flesh and blood. The Red who rose. I want them to know it is him who falls. I want them to know that even their best is insignificant." "Give him words and he'll just make another slogan," the Jackal warns.
"Octavia, do you really think my brother won't kill you?"
Mustang asks.
"He won't rest until you're dead. Until you're all dead, till he takes your scepter and sits on your throne." "Of course he wants my throne. Who wouldn't?"
the Sovereign says.
"What is my charge, Lysander?"
"To defend your throne, to create a union where it is safer for subjects to follow than to fight. That is the role of Sovereign. Be loved by a few, be feared by the many, and always know thyself."
"Very good, Lysander," she says sadly.
"The purpose of a sovereign isn't to rule. It's to lead," I say.
Not even hearing me, she turns to the Joy Knight, who is at the controls of the holodeck, preparing her broadcast.
"Is it ready?"
"Yes, my liege. Greens have restored the links. It'll go out live to the core."
"Say your goodbyes to the Red, Mustang,"
Aja says, patting Mustang's head.
"Can't even do it yourself,"
I ask the Jackal.
"What a man you are."
He frowns.
"I want to do it, Octavia,"
the Jackal says suddenly, rising from his seat and walking out to the holodeck.
"Olympic knights carry out executive executions,"
Aja says.
"It's not your place, Arch-Governor."
"I don't remember asking for your permission."
Aja bares her teeth at the insult, but the Sovereign's hand on her shoulder restrains her tongue.
"Let him do it," the Sovereign says.
Strange, the Sovereign's deference to the Jackal. It's out of character, but in keeping with the oddness I've felt between them on the day. Why would he be here, I wonder? Not Luna. That's obvious enough. But why would he come to a place where the Sovereign has absolute power over him? At any moment, she could kill him. He must have something over her to buy himself immunity. What is his play here? I sense Mustang trying to divine the same answer as Azure moves away from me. The Joy Knight offers the Jackal a scorcher, but Adrius refuses. Instead, he picks Sevro's gun from his holster and twirls it around his index finger.
"He's no gold," the jackal explains. "He doesn't deserve a razor or a state death. He'll go like his uncle. In any matter, I very much would like to begin the transition as the Hand of Justice. Plus, offing Darrow with Sevro's gun is more poetic, don't you think, Octavia?"
"Very well. Is there anything else you would like?" the Sovereign asks tiredly.
"No. You've been most accommodating."
The jackal takes Azure's place beside me as the Sovereign transforms before our eyes, the exhaustion burning away from her face as she adopts the serene, matronly visage I remember telling me, obedience, sacrifice, prosperity, time and time again from the HC in Lycos. Then Octavia seemed a goddess, so far beyond mortal ken that I would have given my life to please her, to make her proud of me. Now I'd give my life to end hers. The Joy Knight nods to the Sovereign. A light glows softly above her, empowering the woman with the fury and warmth of the sun. It's just a spotlight. The lamp deepens its glow. The jackal brushes an errant strand from his fastidiously parted hair and smiles fondly at me. The broadcast begins.
"Men and women of the society," Octavia says, "this is your sovereign. Since the dawn of man, our saga as a species has been one of tribal warfare. It has been one of trial, one of sacrifice, one of daring to defy nature's natural limits. Then, after years of toiling in the dirt, we rose to the stars. We bound ourselves in duty. We set aside our own wants, our own hungers, to embrace the hierarchy of colour, not to oppress the many for the glory of the few, as Ares and this terrorist would have you believe, but to secure the immortality of the human race on principles of order and prosperity. It was an immortality that was assured before this man tried to steal it from us." She points a long, elegant finger at me. "This man, once a noble servant of you, of your families, should have been the brightest son of his colour. He was lifted up as a youth, awarded merits of honour. But he chose vanity, to extend his own ego across the stars, to become a conqueror. He forgot his duty. He forgot the reason for order, and has fallen into darkness, dragging the worlds with him. But we will not fall into that darkness. No, we will not bend to the forces of evil." She touches her heart. We are the society. We are gold, silver, copper, blue, white, orange, green, violet, yellow, grey, brown, pink, obsidian, and red. The bonds that bind us together are stronger than the forces that pull us apart. For 700 years, gold has shepherded humanity, brought light where there was dark, plenty where there was famine. Today, we bring peace where there is war. But to have peace, we must destroy outright this murderer
who has brought war to each and every one of our homes.
She turns to me with a callousness that reminds me of how she watched my duel with Cassius, how she would have let me die then, sipped her wine, and been about her dinner. I am a speck to her, even now. She's thinking past this moment, past the time where my blood cools on the floor and they drag me off to be dissected.
Darrow of Lycos, by the power entrusted in me by the compact, I hereby find you guilty of conspiracy to incite acts of terror.
I stare directly into the holocam's optic lens, knowing how many countless souls watch me now, how many countless eyes will watch me long after I have gone.
I find you guilty of mass murder upon the citizens of Mars.
I barely listen to her. My heart thunders in my chest, rattling the fingers of my left hand, pushing up into my throat. This is it. The end swarming toward me.
I find you guilty of murder.
This moment, this fragment of time is my life in summary. It is my shout into the void.
And I find you guilty of treason against your society.
But I want no shout. Let that be for Roke. Let that be for the Golds. Give me something more, something they cannot understand. Give me the rage of my people, the wrath of all people in bondage. As the Sovereign recites her sentence, as the Jackal waits to deliver it, as Mustang kneels on the ground, as Cassius watches me from among the Praetorians and Knights, waiting, and as Azure sees me look to the tall blonde knight, she steps forward in trepidation because she knows something is wrong. I throw back my head, and I howl. I howl for my wife, for my father, for Ragnar and Quinn and Pax and Nerol, for all the people I've lost, for all they would take. I howl because I am a Helldiver of Lycos. I am the Reaper of Mars, and I have paid for access to this bunker with my flesh. All so I could come before Octavia. All so that I might either die with my friends or see our enemies brought to justice. The Sovereign nods to the Jackal to execute the sentence. He presses the barrel to the back of my head and he squeezes the trigger. The gun kicks in his hand. Fire spits, scorching my scalp, deafening sound ringing through my right ear. But I do not fall. No bullet carves through my head. Smoke swirls out of the barrel, and as the Jackal looks down at the gun, he knows. No. He steps away from me, dropping the gun, trying to pull out his razor.
Octavia!
Azure shouts, lunging forward. But just then, in that beat of the heart, the Sovereign hears something behind the camera and turns to see a Praetorian guard with his head tilted, his pulse rifle thumping to the floor as a grisly red tongue protrudes from his mouth. Only it's not a tongue. It's Cassius's bloody razor that entered through the back of the Praetorian skull and out between his teeth. It disappears back into the mouth. The three guards fall before the Sovereign can say a bloody damn word. Cassius stands behind the slaughtered men, his head lowered, his razor red, his left hand holding the remote control to my restraints and Mustang's.
Bellona?
Is all the Sovereign can say before he presses the button. Mustang's steel vest unbuckles and falls to the ground. Mine follows suit. She dives for a dead Praetorian's pulse rifle. Unshackled, I rise, jerking my arms free and pulling the knife hidden inside the metal vest. I lunge toward the Sovereign. Faster than she can blink, I jam the blade through her black jacket into the softness of her lower belly. She gasps,
eyes huge, inches from mine. I smell the coffee on her breath, feel the flutter of her eyelashes as I stab her 6 more times in the gut, and on the last, rip the metal up toward her sternum. Hot blood pours over my knuckles and chest as she spills open.
Octavia!
Aja's charging me, making it halfway before Mustang, firing from her knees, shoots her in the armored side with the pulse rifle. The blast lifts Aja off her feet, slapping her across the room into the wooden conference table beside Sevra and Antonia's bodies, nearly crushing Lysander. Seeing their sovereign stumbling backward, gut ripped open, the Truth Knight and the Joy Knight both wheel on Cassius, pulling their razors from their hips, their shields thrumming to life. Unarmored, wearing only his blood-spattered prison greens, Cassius flashes forward, skewering the surprised Truth Knight through his eye socket, up through the roof of his skull. The jackal pulls my razor from his hip and slashes at me. I sidestep, coming at him. He swings again, screaming in rage, but I catch his arm and headbutt him in the face before sweeping his legs and tackling him to the floor. I take my razor and stake his left arm to the floor so that he has no free hand. He screams, his spit spattering my face, thrashing at me with his legs. I drop a knee into his forehead and leave him stunned and pinned to the floor.
Darrow! Cassius calls to me as he duels the Joy Knight. Behind!
Behind me, Azure's rising from the shattered remains of the table, eyes wide with rage. I run from her to help Cassius and Mustang, knowing she'd kill me in seconds with my right hand gone. Blood darkens Cassius's green jumpsuit. His left leg has been slashed badly by the better-armored Joy Knight, who is using his weight and the pulsing Aegis shield on his left arm to overwhelm Cassius. Mustang grabs 2 razors from the dead Praetorian and tosses one to me. I catch it on the run with my left hand, toggle the hilt, razor leaps to killing length. Cassius takes another slash to the leg and stumbles over a body, going down, blocking the second strike with the pulse fist, ruining the weapon. The Joy Knight's back is to me. He feels me coming, but it's too late. Silently, I jump through the air and swing a huge looping strike down at him from behind, left arm slowing as it meets the throbbing resistance of the pulse shield, centimeters from the armor, then jerking as it cleaves into his sky-blue plate and through muscle and bone, carrying from left shoulder to the right pelvis, parting his body at a diagonal. His body drips to the ground. Silence in the room as the bodies hit the floor. Mustang rushes to my side. She sweeps her golden mess of hair back, a fevered grin splitting her face. I help Cassius up from the ground.
"How was my acting?" he asks, wincing.
"Not quite as good as your sword work," I say, looking at the bodies around him. He grins, more alive in battle than anywhere else. I feel a pang, knowing this is always how it should have been. Missing the days where we rode together in the Highlands, pretending we were lords of the earth. I grin back at him, wounded, bleeding, but almost whole for the first time I can remember.
"Will you two save the flirting for later?" Mustang says.
Side by side with her, we turn together to face the deadliest human being in the solar system. She's crouched over a terribly wounded Octavia, who has crawled to the edge of the holodeck and pants on her back, holding her stomach together with both hands. Octavia's pale and shivering. Tears stream down Aja's face and Lysander's, who has rushed into the pit to help his grandmother.
"Aja!" the jackal screams from the floor. "Kill them! Open the door or kill them!"
He's lost his mind, thrashing about, trying to reach the whip toggle on the razor with his stump. It's 3.5 feet above him, and he just can't quite reach.
"Open it!"
he says through gnashing teeth. But to open the door, she must reach it. And to reach it, she must go through me and my friends, then present her back to us while she enters the code. She's trapped in here till we're dead, or she is. Aja, give us the Sovereign. Her justice is due, I say, knowing what Aja's reply to that will be, but minding the holodeck is still active. Still broadcasting as gold blood wets the floor. Aja does not turn to look at us. Not yet. Her huge hands caress Octavia's face. She cradles the older woman like a mother holding her own child. Stay alive, she tells her. I will get you out of here. I promise. Just stay alive, Octavia. Octavia nods weakly. Lysander touches Aja's arm. Hurry, please. Wear her down, Mustang whispers. She's the one with the ticking clock. Don't let her pin you in a corner, I say. Move laterally, like we planned. Cassius, you can still take point. Just try to keep up, he says. Aja rises from her crouch to her full height, a brooding mass of muscle and armor, the greatest student of the greatest razor master the society has ever known. Face dark, unreadable. The deep blue protean armor moving subtly with sea dragons, shoulders nearly as broad as Ragnar's. I wish I could have brought Sephi here. A meter and a half of killing silver slithers out before Aja, and she takes the winter stance of the willow way, sword raised like a torch off to the side, left foot forward, hips sunken, knees slightly bent. Mustang and I slide apart, taking the right and left. Cassius, the best swordsman of us now, takes the middle. Aja's hungry eyes devour our weaknesses. The drag in Cassius's step, my missing right hand, Mustang's size, the arrangement of obstacles on the floor. And she attacks. There are two strategies when fighting multiple opponents. The first is use them against one another. But Cassius and I have always been of one mind in battle, and Mustang is adaptable. So Aja chooses the second option, an all-out attack on me, before Cassius or Mustang can come to my aid. She deems me the weakest enemy. And she is right. Her whip cracks toward my face faster than I can bring my blade up. I flinch back, almost losing my eye, throwing my center off balance. She's on me, blade rigid, poking at me in a poetic frenzy of carefully constructed movements to bring my blade out of position across my body so she can perform Lorne's maneuver called the wing scalp, where she tries to lever her blade atop mine to touch the tip to my sword arm's shoulder and scrape down to the outside of my wrist to peel off the muscle and tendons along the way. I dance back, robbing her the leverage, navigating the corpses behind me as Cassius and Mustang close on Aja. Cassius is rushed in his approach, and he overextends, like I almost did. But Aja doesn't use her razor. She activates her grav boots in a quick burst and launches back at him, 200 kilograms of armor and peerless scarred, propelled by grav boots, crashes into flesh and bones. You can almost hear his skeleton creak. His body wraps around her, forehead smashing against her armored shoulder. He drips off her, and she spikes him to the ground. Mustang rushes her flank to stop her from finishing Cassius off, but Aja was expecting the rush from Mustang and uses Cassius to bait her. She slashes Mustang shallowly across the stomach, nearly opening her lower intestine. I hurl my razor at Aja from behind. She somehow hears or feels it coming, and bends sideways as it passes and sticks into the wall of the holodeck that separates it from the sitting room above. Aja's leg shoots out at Mustang, impacting her kneecap and jamming it backward. Can't tell if it dislocates, but Mustang stumbles back, razor outstretched, and Aja turns back toward me, because I have no weapon. Shit, 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 shit! I hiss, scrambling toward the Praetorians to pick up one of their razors.
I gain a pulse rifle and fire blindly behind me. Azure's pulse shield absorbs the munitions, throbbing crimson as she sprints at me and slashes the weapon from my hand. I escape again, rolling backward, taking a long burning gash on the back of my hamstrings, but gaining a razor as I jump out of the holodeck ring up to the sitting level, several feet above. She picks up a pulse fist and shoots it at me. I dive down so she loses her shot. The steel ceiling above me bubbles and drips down. I roll to the side. Razors keen on the deck bellow. I scramble back to the lip to get back in the fight. Azure's cutting us to ribbons, and all Fleeing does is allow her to turn back to Cassius and Mustang. She bears down on him, using his limp against him and the new wound in his shoulder. Mustang attacks from behind before he's cut down, but Azure bends when Mustang slashes, moving like she's studied the fight before it ever happened. We're not going to put her down, I realize. This was our fear. Losing my hand was never part of the plan either. One by one, she's going to kill us. I have a brief moment of hope when Mustang and Cassius finally pin Azure between them. I jump down to help the assault. The woman pivots and twirls like a willow caught among three tornadoes. She knows her armor will take our glancing blows, but our skin can't take hers. She goes for shallow cuts, bleeding us out methodically, aiming for the tendons in our knees, arms, like Lorn taught us both. A sage digging the roots. Her blade cuts deep into my forearm, lacerates my knuckles, taking off a corner of my pinky. I roar anger, but anger isn't enough. My instincts aren't enough. We're too spent, too overwhelmed by the monstrosity of her. Lorne trained her too well. Spinning, she delivers a two-handed thrust up into the right side of my ribcage. My world rocks. She lifts me up with a horrible bellow. My feet dangle half a meter above the deck. Cassius charges her, and she flings me off the edge of her blade to parry his attack. I crash to the ground, my chest feeling like it is caving in on itself. Gasp for air, barely able to draw breath. Cassius and Mustang put themselves between Azure and me. Do not touch him! Mustang hisses. The blade missed my organs, wedging itself between two of the reinforced ribs Mickey gave me. But I'm bleeding all over myself. Trying to stand, scrambling across the deck. The jackal watches me from his place on the ground, exhausted from trying to free himself. He's grinning, despite the horror of bodies all around us, knowing Azure is going to kill me. The Sovereign's face, distant and fading, she watches too, propped up against the lip of the holodeck as it rises to the rest of the room. Lysander's hands holding her together. Azure looks at her in fear, knowing she has not long to live. How could you choose him over us? Azure shouts in rage to Mustang and Cassius. Easily, Mustang replies. Cassius pulls the syringe from the holster on his leg and tosses it across the room to me. Do it before she kills us, man! I stumble to my feet as Azure tries furiously to get at me. But Cassius and Mustang have strength enough to batter her away. She roars in frustration, the three slipping on blood. My friends, not long for this world, standing toe to toe with her. I make it to the edge of the holodeck, opposite the Sovereign, and climb towards Severo's body.
You cannot run, Azure shouts. I will carve your eyes out. There's nowhere to run, you rusty coward.
But I am not running. I fall to my knees beside Severo. The front of his chest is a chaos of laboratory blood and torn fabric from the entry wounds of Cassius's execution. I cut open his shirt with my razor. Six holes stare up at me from the combat vest Scyther made for him. Bits of carved flesh looking so real. His face is quiet and peaceful. But peace isn't in his nature, and we haven't earned it yet.
I pop open the syringe filled with Holliday's snake bite. Enough to wake the dead. Even those faking eternal sleep from Nero's wicked cocktail of Himanthus extract. I pull off his vest. "Wakey, wakey, goblin," I say, as I lift high the syringe, praying the silent prayer that his heart doesn't fail, and plunge it straight into my best friend's chest. His eyes burst open.
Fuck!